I greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you happy this morning? We are happy. I'm happy to be back. Amen. We thank God for His traveling mercy. We've got greetings from Zimbabwe to you, from Pastor Chisindi and the assembly. Amen. Said we must pass their regards to you. Amen. I hope you were well taken care of when I was not around. Amen. That you were blessed with messages that came forth. Amen. We appreciate the Lord. Now, without waste of time, let us go and read our Bibles. We are going to read from the book of Deuteronomy. The chapter will be chapter 28. The verse will be from verse 10. I don't know, Brampanya, if you announced the baptism that we had yesterday. Oh, God bless you. Amen. Then let us read from verse 10. Shall we read it together? And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. They've got to see, folks. And they shall be afraid of thee. They are not afraid of you. They are afraid of the God that is in you. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. In the fruit of thy body. And in the fruit of thy cattle. And in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. The heaven to give you the rain unto thy land in his season. And to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations. And thou shalt not borrow. This was said to Israel. Israel is a very tiny country, but even to this day, Israel is one of the well taken care of as far as God's providence is concerned. The best military, you find it in Israel. The best technology, you find it in Israel. The best food, Woolworths gets their food, they import them from Israel. The strawberry that you eat from Israel is different from any other strawberry. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is a blessing upon that nation. But there is a promise that we that were of not Israel, we shall be crafted in. So that means spiritually today, we are the spiritual Israel. Because as Ruth said to Naomi, your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God. Hallelujah. So it applies to us today. Are we together? Let's read one more. Psalm 37. Verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. His seed will never beg bread. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got to know who do we worship. Are we together? Shall we bow our heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for your grace and mercy. And dear God, you have been invited to this place to have the preeminency in this place, and that your word can move unhindered and your spirit can bring life to the word that is going to be spoken. Believers are here. They walked through this chilly weather. The main objective is that they want to serve you. They want to worship you because you said through the prophet messenger, the heart of a believer has got a yearning to worship God. They are here because you instilled a sense of worship. And Lord, dear God, we are full of gratitude, especially in the time that we find ourselves in. The world is looking at the time and they are quite amazed. And some of them are in distress when they look at things that are happening. But I'm glad that there is a God who's taking care of his children. And that is why we have read the scripture that we have read, where you made promises to Israel, and David comes to put a testimony that he has been old, and he has now been as an old man. He has never seen the seed of the Lord being deserted, dear God. We want to appreciate you for everything. Right now, we take every spirit under the control of the law of the name of Jesus Christ. And we say, Satan, this place has been declared to be a God-given activity where God is going to move and speak to the people. Anything that may attempt anything in the supernatural realm, I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. This name has got power. We believe in this name that it has power to bring every demonic activity under subjection. And I say, Satan, we've got an answer to everything that you may attempt to do, because we know in whom we have believed. We committed the reading of the word to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. While you take your seats. Amen. So we appreciate it to be here this morning. Amen. And appreciate to see all of you. As I said, we appreciated the prayers. We traveled very well. We had a good convention. In total, 25,000 people were there. And we surely had a blessed time. Amen. Are you blessed this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I hope you're not experiencing. I was talking to somebody that the weather in the UK, they only have maybe in a year just few days of good sunshine. The rest, it's very, very cold. And psychologists say their weather make them to be grumpy. Amen. Cold weather makes people to be grumpy. But I said to the believers, it should not make them to be grumpy. We rejoice even when it is sunny. We rejoice even in the middle of winter, because the heart of the believer is always on fire for God. Are we together? Amen. So we appreciate everything, and the brothers that have ministered, Brother Mpanyana, Brother Philip Mafagaza, in my absentia, I appreciate that. Amen. Now, I've not yet listened to the messages. I will listen during this week, but I surely know that you have had a good time. Amen. Now, maybe even before I start my subject, sometimes you've got to tell Satan that your life can never end without certain things coming to pass in your life. Amen. And when circumstances contradict the purpose of God in your life, you should know that it's God's purpose that shall prevail. We together. Amen. So I'm going to speak on a subject that they have fleshed here: scarcity mentality, or scarcity mindset versus abundance mindset. Amen. And then I hope by the time we are done, you should be somewhere with God. You should be able to see what needs to be done. Amen. Now, before I get into the subject, there's a quotation here that I want to read from the prophet in the message, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, paragraph 22. Brother Branham says, I haven't got much hopes for a pastor's church that hasn't got ambitions to better themselves day by day and year by year. I'll repeat that. I haven't got much hopes for a pastor's church, or a church of a pastor, that hasn't got ambitions to better themselves day by day and year by year. A church that's really a church of the living God will never stop and say, well, I just come in, I guess it's all right now. That aren't the church of God. He's got, the pastor, has got an ambition to press on. Well, I've done my part. I brought one sinner this year and he's got saved. Brother, that's not the ambition of the church of God. If he brings one, he wants to bring another, 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 and another. There is no end to it. It just keeps on climbing up. We want to have an ambition and expectations. God wants us to be that way. This is the prophet of God saying that. Are we together? We want to have an ambition and expectations. God wants it to be that way. But I like the phrase where it says, we've got to have an ambition to better ourselves day by day, year by year. Hallelujah. So that means when you are a human being, don't be stagnant. God has made you to be better day by day. And if he wants you to be that way, he has made a provision for you to be better by day and by day, year by year. Are we together? Now, when I want to speak about scarcity, maybe just to give a bit of a testimony of things that we observe as we travel, when we're in Zimbabwe, they had a total of 25,000 people that were there during the convention. And one thing that you cannot take away from Zimbabweans, they love being in church. Amen. When I say in church, I'm not referring to 1 hour. I'm referring that they are there 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock. And they will take a break over an hour. They are back in church until 6 o'clock, from 6 o'clock, sometimes until 10 o'clock in the evening. From the first day, we have had a total of 8 services in total. Every service, including the day that was not a holiday, 25,000 people came every service until the last service. Hallelujah. And how would you know that one is a foreigner in that service when they keep on looking at their watch? You just know that this one is not from here. Amen. Now, I was watching those things and I said, these people really, really loves God. Wholeheartedly, they love God. Now, when we were there, all those 25,000 people were served meals 3 times a day. Three times a day for all those days that we were there. Then it made me wonder. And at no point in time did I hear that those that still need to contribute some money, see Brother So-and-so at such and such corner, no such announcement. Now, then I wondered, why is it like this? And I asked somebody, say, and then how do you provide for these people? Then a brother said to me, listen, we've got brothers that some of them have got farms. Some just donated the cows. We slaughter the cow. We feed the people. Some, they bring the maize meal from their farm. We cook. We feed the people. Are we together? Then I wonder, because the truth be told, Zimbabwe is one of the poorest countries in the world. But I realize that in the midst of their scarcity, they've got an abundance mindset. Amen. Somewhat they believe that God will provide. That is faith. It's not only Zimbabwe. Remember, I was supposed to be in Congo. Congo in total, they had 20,000 people there. And I believe what has happened here the other time, Brother Obed Dioka told me exactly the same way of doing things. Then I said, it looks like on the rest of the continent, when we travel, we learn. We don't travel to teach people only. We travel to learn from people. Then I realized that some countries are poor, but the believers, their way of looking things is not poor. Because they don't trust their resources, they trust in the source. And God is the source. We together. And we're going to look into these things because that's what triggered this thought to speak on this subject and try to bring a difference between a scarcity mindset and abundance mindset. And a lot of times you will realize most of your problems, they've got to do with how you think. How you think shapes your life. Are we together? That is why the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Are we together? So we are going to look into those things. Now, politicians or scarcity, the word scarcity is loved by business people. It is loved by politicians. because when there is scarcity, scarcity creates anxiety. Scarcity creates uncertainty. And then whoever would seem to have a solution for the scarcity would obviously get the favor of the people. Amen. And we are going to talk here this morning, folks. And by the time we are done, I hope some of you that are operating in the realm of scarcity will move into a realm of abundance. Amen. A realm of abundance. So, and even this morning, Satan would want you to believe that there is scarcity. Then when you live your life in the realm of scarcity, you don't have a sense of gratitude. You don't have a sense to appreciate. Your life is characterized by complaints. Your life is characterized by greed. It's characterized by competition. Now, let me give an example. If you were to call a group of young boys, maybe you find them and you say, young men, here is a box of pizza. If they don't know that there is another box that can be given to them, everybody will fight for a slice of their pizza. Because he believes that if I don't get it, the other guy is going to get it. But when they know that there is more pizza, there is no reason to have competition. One can even say, me, I'll eat in the afternoon. Are we together? But when the pizza is limited, there is a constant battle because one has got their portion. And you look at humanity today, the mentality of the people is like in that manner. Everyone believes that this, I've got to get it for myself. I've got to get it for my family, not knowing that actually there is enough for everyone. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Now, I'm just giving, before I get into my quotes, sisters, you know. Already you know what you see there. What drives this is, it is driven by scarcity. 90% off. Get it while the stock lasts. And maybe let me put it this way. If something costs 1,000 rands, and they sell that to you at 900 rands, and they say you saved 200. You have not saved. You have spent 700. It's just marketers playing with your mind. Are we together? So the whole hype around month end or with marketers and retailers, they would want to provoke a sense of scarcity that don't get it now. You are not going to get it next week. And that is why people overindulge, and later you've got debt. Are we together? Now, I will come to that. Let me leave it there for a second. Amen. Now, Brother Branham says in the message, the resurrection of Jesus, he says, firstly, God doesn't want you to be frowning. What makes you frown is when you are not happy about something. Are we together? God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. When I say that, if somebody says God wants you to be healed and you are sick, you say, you are talking about me right there. But if you are not sick and say God wants you to be healed, you look as to who is sick. I'm saying God wants you to be happy. I don't care what is going on in your life. I don't care what battles you face. I don't care what environment you find yourself in. God wants you to be happy. And while it is, let me slot it in. Whatever God wants, the devil does not want. Satan does not want you happy. But God wants you to be happy. Hallelujah. For me, I will take sides with the one that says he wants me to be happy. And we are going to get into how can you become happy. People are not happy, folks. The number of people that are happy genuinely so is dwindling. Year by year, the number is getting slimmer and slimmer. And I will show you why people are not happy. It's because of the scarcity mindset. Amen. And we'll show what we mean by that. God wants you to be happy. The human heart was made to be happy. The human heart was not made to contain strain. It was made to be happy. And if God wants you to be happy and your heart to be happy, he must have made a provision for you to be happy. Now, it means that you, when you are not happy, then you need to go and check with God. You said you want me to be happy. Why am I not happy? And things that do not make you happy, allow God to remove them out of your life so that you can become happy. Hallelujah. I hope by the time we are done, we will be preaching to happy people. Hallelujah. A believer must be happy. The birds, they are happy for no reason. They are happy just because it is a good morning. Then they are happy about that. And we'll get into that. Worry will cause cancer. Worry will cause cancer. Temper will cause cancer. Don't never be upset. Just walk in his love. Hallelujah. Just don't be upset. Just walk in his love. Amen. Now, Brother Abraham says in this message, the infallibility of God's spoken word, paragraph 4. He says, you know, I was telling the boys a while back coming over. I said about how we must be happy all the time. Amen. God doesn't want you to be sad. You know what ill temper does. That old temper, that's one of the awfulest old things. It's about 60% of the cause of all sickness is temper. This was the prophet of the age, folks. 60% of all sicknesses are caused by temper. Temper is a demon. Don't just embrace that demon and say, you know, I'm short-tempered. That's a demon. Hallelujah. Short temper, it's a demon. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The only thing that can purify and get rid of that demon, sweeten it by prayer. Amen. Or if you don't, you're going to have a problem. You say, yes, sir. Tantrums, you fly loose. Remember, you are just developing cancer. Ulcer or something like when you do it. When you get all stewed up about somebody and say, I won't go back there anymore. Wait till I give them a piece of my mind. All right? Remember, you are the one that is going to pay for it. We live during a time where everybody say, I want to give her a piece of my mind. Give her the piece of your mind while you develop cancer. Hallelujah. A believer doesn't give people a piece of mind. He gives them the peace that is in their soul. I've used peace there as a pun, if you get what I mean. Peace in terms of path, but peace in terms of the inner peace. Remember, you are the one that is going to pay for it. Amen. So I'm just simply saying, God wants us to be happy. Amen. And then we are going to get to check what makes us happy. Now, Brother Branham says in this message, all things are possible to him that believeth, paragraph 18. He says, now just simple trying to hide behind some kind of a church doctrine instead of coming out and saying, you ain't got no faith. That's all. Satan never received the Holy Ghost. He's got nothing then to give you faith. It's God that's got the faith. And just as you are filled with God, you are filled with faith. If you are the Son of God, you are like God. I want you to pack this in your thought. If you are the Son of God, you are like God. And if it's somebody say, you are like this person, then you need to study that person to check what are the similarities. Are we together? If you are a daughter of God, you are like God. Are we together? Why? That means God has got no worry at all. Scarcity brings worry. And we'll show you these things. He just speaks the word, this God. He just speaks the word. It creates itself. His word is the creative power. He made all out of things which was not seen. He just said, let there be. And here it was. He believed his own word. So that means if you are a son of God, you are like God. And God believes in his word. You've got to believe in your word as well. And if God's word creates itself, your word has got to create itself. If God does not experience scarcity, that means you need not to experience scarcity. Are you here, people? And we'll get into these things. Now, Brother Branham says, in the message, the way it became flesh, the India Report, paragraph 183, he says, and they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Then when the human element goes out and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy where you empty yourself, amen, then you will be, when the church in its power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ will walk in his steps, in his power, in his thoughts, in his being, in his moving. See what I mean? Then your thoughts, this is the prophet, then your thoughts will become weights. And weights will become material. This is the prophet speaking like that. Then your thoughts will become the weight. Will become the weight. And your weights will become material. Hallelujah. If my weight is that I am not happy, if my thoughts are I'm not happy, my weights will be I'm not happy. Then what is going to materialize in my life, I'm not going to be happy. Do you see where it's going, folks? Do you see why the human mind was chosen to be a battleground between God and Satan? And Brother Abraham says, two dogs are fighting in your head. It depends what you feed most. And this morning I say, feed the one that feeds you. Never feed the one that destroys you. Your thoughts will become the weights. And your weights will become material. You cannot do it. That's what your thoughts tell you. That's what your weights will be. And that's what materializes in your life. Are you still with me, folks? This is the prophet of God saying that. Now, coming to the issue of scarcity. Or maybe let's do some diagnostic. I'm trying to move here. Okay. It's just few things that will check whether have you got the scarcity mentality or abundance mentality before I proceed with quotations. Now, the first one, let's start here clockwise. It's difficult to be happy for those who succeed around you. Why? It's because you don't believe there is enough for everybody. You think it's only enough for you. So when somebody succeeds, you feel like it's like in a company. If somebody gets promoted, other people say, we will never be promoted. But another one, when one gets promoted, he says, there is an opportunity. Things can be done. When another brother, God blesses him, another brother says, this God is still in the blessing business. But he that has got a scarcity mentality looks at the brother, develops a jealousy. Are we together? You are constantly comparing your worth to others. You are always trying to be in charge. If I, as a pastor, I've got a scarcity mentality, what would have happened last Sunday, I would have left an audio of my sermon playing and said, the church, come together and listen to me. No one can minister better than I do. Scarcity mentality. And we see those things in certain ministries. Whenever you get to the point that somebody cannot do it, you are the only one that can do it. That's a scarcity mentality. You must say, if I can do it, God can raise another one that can do it much better than I do it. Amen. Can we get an amen on that one? Success means beating someone else. When you've got something, you thrive that I've beaten others to it. And you see why this will make you develop a spirit of selfishness. You feel that when others acquire things, you have a less chance of acquiring those things. If God blesses somebody, you say, if that brother's got it, we are not going to have it. And guess what? When you are less, and some people, I've seen jealousy being hidden behind spiritual code. When somebody cannot afford something and God has blessed another brother, he says, I don't care about the things of the world. No, that's just a jealousy. We need to call it out for what it is. And the day God blesses you with the very thing, you go quiet. You want us to sing Jehovah Jireh. When it was another brother, things of the world. But when it is you, Jehovah Jireh. It doesn't work like that, folks. When you win, you feel like you have conquered over everyone else. You've got no spirit of lifting people. You've got a spirit of stepping on people to get whatever you want. You have difficult time sharing with others. That scarcity mindset. If now I've got 50 rands and I give it to, I don't have it now, I was going to give it to you. Do you swipe? Amen. Now, if I had 50 rands and I give it to Brother Grace and I give another one to Brother Hezekiah, If Brother Grace has got a scarcity mindset, he will hold on to it and say, I don't want to lose it. They gave it to me. And he will even count, I'll use 1 rand for 50 days. But if Brother Ezekiel has got the abundance mindset, he says, where this 50 rand comes from, there is another one coming. How it came, God will bring another one. I hear people. And scarcity, and that is where when you speak about the reason there is a difference between people that, and God, but the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. A lot of times you pick up, I don't come here hit on tithes and so forth. Tithes is very important. But however, let me pack you. Those that believe that God has given us this, and there is more from what he has given us, they are able to give to God with a cheerful heart. But those that think that this is it, this is all, they've got difficulty in letting go. Folks, I managed to spend, there's a brother of ours that God has blessed abundantly in Nigeria, Brother Cosmas Maduga, was on the front page of Forbes magazine. He's not a millionaire. He's a billionaire. Not in rands, in dollars. He's a billionaire. He's the one that assembles, distributes Rolls Royce in Nigeria. He's the one that assembles BMW in Nigeria. He assembles Mini Cooper in Nigeria. He assembles Ford in Nigeria. He's the only one that does Amati vehicles in Nigeria. He produces rice for Nigeria. He's a message believer. Now, I was fortunate to be put up where he was putting up and spend time with him. Then I asked him, I said, I mean, if you don't get a chance to spend time with a billionaire. Then I asked, I said, brother, you love the Lord, I can see, but how did you make it to be where you are? He says, what I have, Brother Madiba, it's a reflection of the confidence that God has in me as far as my faithfulness is concerned. I want you to pack that. What I have, it's a reflection of the confidence that God has in me as far as my faithfulness is concerned. Hello? And I said, go on. He says, if God gives you $500, he says, a lot of time people, what they would do with $500, $500 is around about 7,000 rands. First thing they will say, I want to go and buy Samsung. And then I will buy a suit. When everything is left, they say, I've got nothing for God. But he says, with me, God is in, he's supporting Voice of God recording folks. This is a genuine. I know some people, when you say billionaire, they think about the camels and the needles hole. No, this is a brother, he's going to heaven. Are we together? But you see, he says faithfulness. Now, I'll come on to those things. On a subconscious level, you like others to fail. And actually, to a certain extent, you would want to spend time with failures to hear their failures and to rejoice. Folks, not everybody that comes to sympathize with you, they really sympathize. Some they just check how far have you sunk and how far you can be pushed. That is why the only person that when you fail, you need to go to is God. Yes, your brethren, you can report to them after you have tested how genuine they are. Are we together? I will come on to these things. Brother, you can remove it while we get into something. Now, in the message, Jehovah Jireh, I want you to stay with me when I read this quotation. Jehovah Jireh, he preached on the 3rd of April, 1964, paragraph 9. He says, just got a letter a while back. It just came to me. Is a special, a famous doctor in Indiana. He's Catholic by faith. His son is a priest in St. Mariet Monastery in Jasper, Indiana. This was Dr. C. Ackerman. This man is a Catholic. His son is a Catholic priest. He's meeting the prophet. And I happened to meet him on a hunting trip once. And he had been hunting for 11 years for an elk. He failed to get one. And that night we sat till almost 2 o'clock talking about the Lord. Until 2 o'clock in the morning, Brother Branham with this man who is a Catholic, they are spending time talking about the Lord. The son is a priest in Indiana. And this man was Dr. C. Ackerman. But I guess if you sit with somebody and talk about the Lord until 2 o'clock in the morning, you must be talking good things. This man was enjoying what the prophet was talking about. And already I'm running ahead of myself. Had it been some of us, if you spent time with a Catholic, you would have already 5 minutes, you would have killed the conversation. Listen to the prophet. I heard this doctor was up there at the camp. So when I got up there, I was expecting to see somebody arrogant and indifferent. But I met a mighty fine, sweet type of a man. He walked up and said, are you Brother Branham? I said, yes, sir, I am. He shook my hand. He said, I'm Dr. Ackerman. I said, well, I'm certainly glad to know you. We got talking about God and about how that if he ever was God, he has to remain God. Or he never was God. A historical God is no good today if he isn't the same to the people today as he was then. Are you with me, people? So about 3 o'clock, the guide woke us up. And I was guiding also. So we're going to take a trip, take our men out to different places where we would guide them. On the road down, Dr. Ackerman was allotted to me. This was a Catholic man that was allotted to the prophet. On the road down, he stopped little bit before daylight, put his hand on my shoulder and said, Brother Branham, I said, yes, sir, doctor. He said, I'm thoroughly convinced of Jesus Christ. He said, I got a boy, you know he's a priest. I said, yes, sir. He said, I am Catholic by faith. I guess that's the church. He said, well, I believe if he ever was God, he's God of all people. I said, that's exactly right. He created all men, and by one blood, he made all nations. And he said, yes, sir, I believe that. And said, I've read your books. That means he's read the spoken word. I've read your books. He said, I'm confiding this. I believe if you'll ask God to give me an elk today, I'll get it. How many years has he been hunting for this elk? 11 years. This is a Catholic priest. He says to the prophet, says, but I believe if you'll ask God to give me an elk today, I'll get it. And said, 11 years I've hunted for them. Being caught in snowstorms, he never got it. I said, I'll ask the Lord to give it to you, doctor. That's all I can do. When I asked him and prayed for him, I said, doctor, exactly 9 o'clock this morning,
the Lord gives you a 5-point bull elk. He said, I believe it. That's all he has to do if you believe it. So a friend and I climbed up on the hill, watched the watch. At 9 o'clock, the gun fired. He had the 5-point bull elk. We went helping him bring it in. Hallelujah. Check, folks. I want to check something. Brother Branham, how he showed to this man that God is alive. He didn't sit down with him there and debate that, you know, the Pope is the beast. He didn't sit down there and say, listen, the woman that the Bible talks about, mother of harlots. No, he went and took the historical God and made the historical God to be the God of today. And there was no way that this man could deny it. For 11 years, he was looking for an elk. He couldn't find it. But here's the prophet of God. He says, exactly at 9 o'clock, you are getting one. And it's not just an ordinary elk. It's a bull elk. Yeah. Hallelujah. We worship a God that gives people the bull elk. And I'm saying this morning, if he gave a Catholic man that never came out of his denomination, if he gave a Catholic man that still followed the Pope, how much more this morning for the people that separated themselves and are the worshippers under the banner of the message? The same God that provided to that Catholic man can provide to every believer this morning. But you've got to believe because he believed. Are you here, folks? Where did that L come from? I believe it was spoken into existence by the fellowship. Hallelujah. I hope you are with me. Now, in the message, the prophet Elisha, paragraph 20, Brother Brum says, now they crossed Jordan. They were going up the hill. Elisha turns around and said, what would you do? What would you that I do for you, seeing that you have been patient to follow me from every place and won't turn back, and you are determined to go on? Elisha says that a double portion of your spirit might come upon me. That's the way to ask. See, ask plenty. The prophet says, that's the way to ask. Ask plenty. Some cannot say amen because they don't believe that. Amen. So God likes to give it that way, the double portion. Don't be scared. People say, I asked the Father so much. But I'm saying, oh my, don't be scared to ask him. Ask just all you can ask. He likes to give you just as much as he's got faith to receive. You won't run out. God has got plenty of blessings. He says, could you imagine a little fish about that long out in the middle of the ocean saying, I better drink of this water sparingly. I might run out someday. And some of us, we are like that, like a fish that is in the ocean. Let me just take a sip a bit, because I don't know, I might run out. No, sir, you're not going to run out. David says, I've been young, now I'm an old man. I've never seen the righteous being forsaken by the Lord. Are we together? And let me tell you, sometimes you've got to tell that old David, that David, you never destroyed me when I was just this petite and I did not know the message. What more when I know the message? I'm surprised believers are afraid. Folks, there were how many times even the devil was against your birth? Because why? He knew that at a later time, you're going to save God. He wanted to destroy you while you were in your mother's womb. But there is a supernatural power that preserved you from your mother's womb. When you were a child, how many witches were around, but none could touch you? Why? Because there was a supernatural protection upon your life. and you did not know the message. You were not a believer. But God knew that this is my son. God knew that this is my daughter. And if the same God protected you when you were younger, how much more now when you are able to praise his holy name? Are you here, folks? No need to be afraid of anything. No need to be afraid of anything. Amen. Amen. Brother Moses says, now, could you imagine a little fish about that long out in the middle of the ocean saying, I better drink of this water sparingly. I might run out someday. That's nothing compared with what the blessings of God has got for you. Could you imagine a little mouse under the great gunners of Egypt saying, I just better eat a few grains each day because it might not last through the winter. Why? He could never eat it in 1,000 lifetimes. And I'm saying this morning, you can never, even if you were to live 1,000 times, you would never exhaust God's blessings. Amen. I hear people, and I know what I'm talking about because I can see the economy is beginning to tank and people are going jittery. Let me tell you something. Even if we were to live longer, God has got a provision for his children. They will never experience scarcity. They will experience abundancy. Why? When you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings abundancy in your life. And maybe while at it, I want to say, what makes you to live in a state of abundance is a sense of gratitude. When you receive something, you say, God, thank you, God, you gave me this. Because why? Because you acknowledge the source. You are not worried about whether this resource is going to be depleted. Even if the resource is depleted, you know the source will never be depleted. That's why we've got to thank God and say, God, I thank you for this breakfast. And wherever this breakfast comes from, there is another breakfast. Wherever this lunch comes from, there is another lunch. Wherever this salary comes from, there is another salary. Wherever this health comes from, there is another health. You can never exhaust God's blessing. That's why we've got to have a sense of gratitude. Take time to say, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. And the devil realizes that the more you thank God, the more God does abundantly in your own life. But when you have got no sense of gratitude, it makes you to develop a spirit of stinginess. And until you worship the resource instead of the source. But this morning I'm here to announce, despite the resources, there is a great source. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will provide for his children. I repeat, he will provide for his children. When they call our God, how many knew our God is a chef? Hallelujah. Brother, he's got the best confectionery. One day he baked bread for the Israelites. Fed them bread while they were in the wilderness. Where did that bread come from? Heaven has got a kitchen. And I'm saying the same God that baked bread, he is the same God today. Oh, some are looking at me and say, you are being fanatical. Leave me alone with my fanaticism. I believe God is a chef. Where were those crowds got to the land to give to Elijah? Where did they get the right salt to put into the food? Where did they get the right spice? God has got a place where he prepares blessing for his children. But his children must believe we serve a God who is a provider. We are not orphans, folks. I say we are not orphans. One day, he had a multitude of people. And they said, and he looked at them. And he became empathetic towards them. Until he says, and the disciples say, send the multitude away so that they can go and buy food. Hallelujah. Amen. I can imagine Jesus saying, go and buy food. No, 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 no. They don't need to go anywhere. Who's got food around here? And a boy stepped to the fore and said, I only have fish and five fish and a loaf. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, these ones, they will feed 5,000 men, excluding children and women. And he multiplied, he prayed, because he knew that there is a provider. He prayed and said, God, I thank you for this food. He distributed and fed all of them until the remnants filled a basket and basket. Where did that come from? You want to tell me that God doesn't exist anymore? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, or let's check this scripture. I would like it in Amplified. Let's check 2 Kings chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, look now, the place where we live before you is too small for us. If you can make it verse 24, rather. And afterwards, Ben-Herod, king of Syria, gathered his whole army and went up and besieged Samaria. And a great famine came to Samaria. They besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and a fourth of a cup of dove's dung, a wild vegetable, for 5 shekels of silver. As the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, a woman cried to him, help, my lord, O king. He said, for if he does not help you, nor let the Lord help you, from where can I get you help? Out of the threshing floor or out of the wine press? And the king said to her, what ails you? She answered, this woman said to me, give me your son so we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. Scarcity brought them to a point where they had to feed on each other's children. So we boiled my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, give me your son so we may eat him. But she had hidden her son. When the king heard the woman's words, he rent his clothes and he went on upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he wore sackcloth inside on his flesh. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 1. Same one, move to 7. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thou says the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Do you see the contrast? Verse 2. Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned answered the men of God and said, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? But Elisha said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. You see, whenever God wants to make a promise, there's always a doubting Thomas somewhere. Then verse 3. Now 4 men who were lepers were at the entrance of the city's gate, and they said to one another, why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city. And if we shall die there, and if we sit still here, we die also. Now come, let us go over to the army of Syrians. If they spare us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So they arose in the twilight and went to the Syrian camp. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no man was there. For the Lord had made the Syrian army hear a noise of chariots and horses, the noise of a great army. They had said to one another, "The king of Israel has hired the Hittite, an Egyptian king, to come upon us." I wonder what happened, because they've besieged the city and the people are locked inside the walls of the city. But they say when they heard the four lepers moving on the ground, they heard as if it was thousands of chariots, and they ran away. There were no cell phones during that time. Verse 7. So the Syrians arose and fled in the twin line and left their tents, horses, donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothing and went and hid them in the darkness. Then they entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid it. These lepers just became overnight rich. Verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We are not doing right. We are not doing right. This is a day of glad good news, and we are silent and do not speak up. If we wait until daylight, some punishment will come upon us." Sorry, for not reporting at once. "So now come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city. They told them, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was neither sight nor sound of men there, only the horses and donkeys tied, and the tents as they were." Then the gatekeepers called out, and it was told to the king's household within. And the king rose in the tent and said to his servants, "I will tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking when they come out of the day of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city." One of his servants, remember, now the king, if he was a believer, he would have said, "No, the prophet said something along these lines." But already he says, "No, it's a trap." That's what people are. You show him and say, "God has blessed us this way." He says, "No, it's a trap. It's not a trap if it is thou, says the Lord." Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. "Let some men take five of the remaining horses. If they are caught and killed, there will be no worse off than all the multitude of Israel left in the city to be consumed. Let us send and see." So they took chariot horses, and the king sent them after the Syrian army, saying, "Go and see." They went after them to Jordan. All the way was strewn with clothing and equipment, which the Syrians had cast away in their flight. And the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, as the Lord has spoken through Elisha. Come again, brother. The king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the starving people trembled him in the gate as he struggled to get through for food. And he died, as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to him. This is a fella, when a prophecy was made, he says, "Not a chance. Even if God can open the windows of heaven, shall this thing happen?" It was an unbelief. And right there, I'm amazed that when this prophecy began to be fulfilled, he is there in charge. Distributing. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it amazing that the very people that when you tell them that God has done this thing for me, before it materializes, they say you have lost your mind. The day it materializes, they're the very ones that say, we want to benefit from this blessing. Amen. Verse 18. When the man of God had told the king, 2 measures of barley shall sell for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel tomorrow, about this time in the gate of Samaria. The captain had told the men of God, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And I'm saying it can be, because God has got windows in heaven, and from time to time, he opens those windows and showers of blessing come upon his children. Are we together, folks? And I'm saying, you've got to believe that. And I'm saying, and leave the scripture as it is, my brother. I'm saying, we need not to believe in our resources. Our resources will make us to sink more into a problem. Hallelujah. You don't trust in your credit card. Trust in the blessing of God. When God does something for you, there is no vicious cycle where you solve this problem, but it creates that problem. When God solves one problem, he solves it entirely. I want to repeat that. When God solves one problem, he solves it entirely. But you've got to say, am I right with God? Is my life right with God? And if your life is right with God, you're within right to ask from God whatever he can do for you. I hear people. And you allow me to preach. We're sharing with a certain pastor. He said to me, we're just talking about what we're witnessing in Zimbabwe. Because the reason the convention is like that, my brother's got a farm. He just brings 3 cows and say, this cow, 3 cows, I'm donating them to the convention. Hallelujah. And our pastor said, in South Africa, they would have sold it to the convention. Oh, yes, allow me to preach. It would have been sold to the convention. But there, they donate. Brother says, God has blessed me with a farm. This 3 cows, I'm donating so that the children of God can feed. Are we together? But if it was here at home, in South Africa, we talk about how much is it going to be. Amen. Now, when we were talking, one brother mentioned a case that he knew about in America, and says, people here that God has blessed, they are very honest with their blessings. Then he told us about a case in America where a wealthy brother, very wealthy, this brother drove the cars that would touch close to $500,000 stays in a very nice house and so forth. Now, business people, they know. Some of them, they think God is the South African Reserve of Revenue. Now, this guy, he was paying his car from the business expense. Paying his house from the business expense. Then he was paying himself a salary of $500. Then at church, when he gave the tithes, he was giving $50 while he was driving a car of $2 million. He thinks God is an accountant that you can just... Hallelujah. And the pastor, the trustees realize and say, what do we do? The pastor say, leave him alone. He's not robbing the church. He's not robbing anybody. He's robbing God. The money that he saved because of his creative accounting, he, the brother, developed cancer. And the sister developed cancer. The money that they were supposed to bring to the Lord, it ended up going to the specialist. somehow you will pay. Somehow, God will make sure you pay. Are we together? And I know we live during a time where ministers in this church, I mean, you have picked up, we don't treat people based on how much they give. We treat people because people are souls. But in the same vein, whenever you rob God, God will allow demons to rob you. Are you with me, people? He thought he was being clever, and I'm glad that they did not intervene. They said, no, because he's doing it in that way. Let him continue in that way. He's robbing God. It's between him and God. Let's see what will happen. And I'm amazed. I'm moved, folks. I'm moved. I know there's a brother in the church. The other time he phoned me, Pastor, I'm about to be retrenched. And I knew this brother was not even 5 months in the faith. But I knew his diligence in giving to the Lord. And when he rang me, I said, God, this man is still new. If we teach him that if you do this, this is what is going to happen, it had better happen. Because if it doesn't happen, it will show that you are a liar. The brother, even when he was retrained, they gave him his last salary when he was retrained. He was honest with the little that was left. And he came, we prayed. Guess what? Within a month he came. He said, Pastor, they've recalled me. They've rehired me. And I wonder, some we've got them for 15 years. They don't understand those principles. But some come yesterday, they understand those principles. Why? It's because some people, they know there is an abundance. The day they find the Lord, they say, finally, we have found a provider. This God will folks, let me tell you something. This God is not a God of Sunday. This God is a God when the grocery is not there. He will refill the grocery. This God is there when they announce in a company that we are retrenching. He's still a God. He's got a way of making it possible for his children. I was talking to Brother Philip. We were talking. I'm worried, folks. Even some of our white brethren, I'm going to say it for what it is. They think our God is Julius Malema. Our God is not Julius Malema. We've got a God that is above politics. Yes. You cannot tell me that in this day and age, I'm a white man, I cannot find a job. That's a hogwash. Yes. We come from the heavenly economy. Yes. Brother Philip is there, they closed the mind, but they said, you, we just want you to come and look around and make sure that the farmer next door gets his supply of water. And he goes there, he studies his spoken word, he listens to the tape, just driving the mine company. And whenever, because it's a part of a group, whenever they make a production target, they pay him a bonus. Yes. I said it. Are you going to tell him that because you're a white male in South Africa, you're not going to? No, he's not going to believe that. Because his source is not a South African economy. He worships the God of Malachi 4. He doesn't care about the dynamics of the country. God will provide for them. Unemployment is reaching 48% in this country. Expanded definition of unemployment. Where's Brother Moyo? Brother Moyo is here. One of the most trusted people at Bidvest. While there is no job for South Africans, he is a Zimbabwean. They say, we need you. But I'm saying he's not a Zimbabwean. He operates in another economy that is invisible to the naked eye. People, are you here? So don't tell me about statistics. Don't tell me about the country. We are not from here. We come from God. And we are going back to God. And our God will provide for our needs. Hello, young people, are you here? Don't say, I'm going through varsity, I'm going to be unemployed. For what? You are a daughter of God. You are a son of God. Yes. I know Sister Lewis is not here. She just got employed this week. No experience. No experience. Got employed. What happened? It's not a wishy-washy job. Balo well to folks. I'm here to testify. If you are sitting there, you don't, I will testify on his behalf. Because this God, I've been a young man. Now I'm an old man. I have never seen the righteous being forsaken by the Lord. And I'm saying that God is still going to do great things among us. But it needs you to have faith, to have an abundance mindset. Don't be stingy. I must hold on to this. For what? You're going to develop high blood pressure. You're going to have sugar diabetes. Let go. I think we need to let go. And say, God, we thank you for everything that you are doing for us. God, we thank you for your provision. This morning when you woke up, when you breathed in, did you stop at some point and say, let me be careful in case I run out of oxygen? In case the oxygen runs out. No, you knew that where the oxygen comes from, there is a God. Folks, this God is faithful. Despite the wickedness upon the face of the earth, he made a promise that every day the sun will rise. I don't care whether people are going to commit adultery under that sun, but I've got a commitment because I said it in my way, the sun must rise. Amen. And as surely as it is every day, the sun is rising. Amen. Hallelujah. Whether it's winter, the sun will rise again. And I'm saying, if God is so committed, even to the unbelievers, how much more to the seed of God? If he made a promise, he will keep his promise. Brother Abraham said, you have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. And certain things, a blessing is a blessing only when it is received. As much as Brother Abraham said, a pardon is a pardon as long as it is received. We're going to preach these things. Some will receive them. And God will bless them. Some will sit there and say it was just Sunday. And if you worship a Sunday God, he's not going to do much for you. I need a God that when I go for performance reviews, he has already given me the grading. You need a God when you go for an interview. I just heard about a young man that was going for an interview, and somewhat the taxi broke down, and he had to run in the rain. He actually even got there very late after the way everything was done. Imagine wet as wet can be, shoes as muddy as they can be. Then he walked in there and said, I'm here for an interview. Then they showed him, the lady that was going to interview him. And the lady looked at them, boy, muddy shoes, wet, and said, go home and get dry clothes and start on Monday morning. You no interview. You can clap God better than you do. Some sat in the interview, tried to impress. Have you ever seen when you are desperate, tell us about yourself until your mouth goes dry? This man came wet as wet, not looking presentable. Because this God sometimes does paradoxical things. He wants to make sure that until you realize it was not me, it was the provision of God. Are we together? Amen. Amen. Trust in this God. Are you still with me? Amen. Just read a few things before I release you. Have you ever met people that have got scarcity mentality? And the scarcity mentality brings fear. It makes you feel like you're not good enough. And when you, if God can grant you a blessing and you receive it, but you are not acknowledging that it is from Him, you walk around with a sense of self-doubt. And people can pick it up, people can smell self-doubt, that you are actually not sure about what you are talking about. Amen. Brother Branham says in this message, I just want to read something that he speaks about Sister Hetty. Are you still with me? He speaks about Sister Hetty in this message, speak to the mountain. He said, something said to me, but your Lord stood one day by the side of a wall. So this Brother Branham is watching. He had traveled. And after he had traveled, he came back. When he came back, The trustees told him that Sister Hetty Wright had given $20 towards the contribution of the building fund. And Brother Branham knew how poor was Sister Hetty, how she would go and dig in the field. And Brother Branham says, no, we are not going to take it. You need to take the money and refund her. Now, while he had said that, he said, something said to me, but your Lord stood one day by the side of a wall and saw rich men putting thousands of dollars into a treasury. And a wee little widow came by and she only had 3 pennies, all her living. And now, what would you have done if you would have stood there? And you'd see that little widow put them 3 pennies in. You'd run and say, oh, no, sister, don't do that. Just don't do that because we've got plenty in here. We don't need that. But Jesus never told her not to do it. He let her go ahead and do it because he knew he had something for her down the road. Little something better. So he just let her. God loves a cheerful giver. And like water upon the, like bread upon the water, it will return back to you. Are we together? Those are the principles that the Bible has taught us. And if you do them, abide by them, you will never go astray. And we need to share the testimonies for what they are. We're fellowshipping with the pastors. This pastor says, this young man is a waiter. He works in a restaurant. And when he was working there at a restaurant, I hope you'll not misread me. We're not soliciting for money. The gospel is not for money. And sometimes, this prophet, many a times, he never even took an offering. But similarly, in the same breath, we cannot fail to teach you those principles, lest you not get blessed. We know that there are every Tommy, Dick, and Harry telling people to plant seeds. so that they can extort money from the people. That is from hell. But it doesn't mean that if somebody does the wrong thing, we entirely abandon it. There are certain principles that if you keep and adhere to them. If you were to do something good for somebody that they cannot do anything for you, doesn't that make you feel good? Are we together? And the Bible says, the blessed is the hand to that. But you know, humanity has taught us that the blessed is the hand that. But God says the blessed is the hand that. Are we together? The other time, not that we have money, I was driving down the road and there was this man, and this thought just popped into my mind that, goodness, if you do something good for somebody that you don't expect anything from them, it makes you feel good. And I was driving down the road, I got into the toll gate and this guy was following me, and I said, I'm paying for my car and I'm paying for the guy's car. And when he got there, they told him that guy has already paid for your car. You should have seen how he raised. He kept on looking at me, smiling. It just made me feel good that I've done something for that fella. Are we together? Folks, when you do that, it brings joy to your heart. And as a matter of fact, if you were to invite me and out for lunch at a restaurant, I'm very sensitive on how, when I'm out dining out, how a person that I'm dining out treats waiters. I've seen even men of God, some of them have lost respect from me the moment when I saw how they treat for that person. Because I watch how you treat somebody that will never do anything for you. It teaches me about who you are as a person. Are we together? And in this church, if we've got money to go and eat at the restaurant, we surely have money to tip. I expect an amen on that. If you take me out and you don't tip, I consider that to be rude. And it's those little things that you do. And God realizes that this person, then he adds more blessings. He adds more blessings. Are we together? But if you are just the person that receives, you develop the spirit of being greedy. You become jealousy. But when you've got an abundance mindset, everything that happens to the next person, you know that it's a matter of time. It will happen to me as well. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. How many have ever been out dining out with people and you saw how better they treat waitress? Amen. It's not nice. And when you're a Christian, you have to acknowledge that you know that people have got a lot to deal with. The lady that helps you in a supermarket, she may look grumpy, but if she was to tell you her story, you would realize that the least that you could have done was to invite her to church. Because people battle with the Lord. And you are an agency of God's power. Wherever you go, you can change the atmosphere. How often my wife says, hey, you talk too much. I say, no, I'm not talking too much. I'm just having the responsibility that in every environment that I walk in, I must live a positive energy. Because God has put this positive energy in me, I must transmit it to another person. So another person, when they come in contact with me, they must say, if that guy was this happy, there must be hope. Are we together, people? Amen. And Jesus says, if you that are evil, if your children ask for bread and you do not give them stone, and if they ask meat and you do not give them snake, surely our Heavenly Father will take care of His children. And I'm here to say to you, our Heavenly Father will take care of your needs. He took care of His prophet servant's needs. He was going to take care of your needs. But he wants you to believe in him. He wants you to believe that all things are possible. And how do you start? Gratitude. Develop a habit of saying, I thank you, God. I thank you for this. I thank you for that. The problem today, a lot of people are not thankful anymore. They are not thankful anymore. I got this. And let me tell you something. Even sales people, they know. In sales, we've got what we call post-purchase dissonance. Post-purchase is when you have bought a bigger item, a high purchase, and you are sitting at night, you are wondering, whether am I going to afford this? And you wonder, whether was it the right decision? Then we in sales, that is why they will call you after days and say, are you enjoying your car? Are you enjoying your house? They are trying to calm your nerves. Yes, there is a word for it, post-purchase dissonance. Just to console you that, no, you have made the right decision. Because remember, some agreements, they say, you can cancel it after 18 days when you are not sure. So they don't want you to use that clause and cancel it. So they console you, but once 18 days is done, you are on your own. Yes, how many of you know what I'm talking about? The salesperson, you know, I'm not just selling. I'm a service agent. I'm a service you so that you make the right decision. Now we're together. When you receive a blessing from God, there is no post-purchase dissonance. In the middle of the night, you've got tears streaming down your cheek. You say, God, among all the people, why did you consider to do such a great deed to me? I thank you. But when it is not from the Lord, it is giving you a headache. And sometimes we need to differentiate what comes from the Lord and what comes from our efforts. What comes from our efforts, it develops a spirit of pride. I did it. I knew it was a matter of time. No, you are lying. If we can trace down in your life and check where you are and where you are today, some of you never knew you would be where you are today. But God has got a way of taking a shepherd out there in obscurity and say, this is my son. This is a man after my own heart. He needs to go to the palace. He's got to be a king. But between being a shepherd and being a king, there is a lion. There is a bear. There is Goliath. Why are those things there? To develop your character. To know that when you arrive in the palace, you can look down and say, had it not been by the grace of God, that bear would have finished me. That lion would have finished me. That Goliath would have finished me. But in the name of the Lord, here I am. How many say, by the grace of God, here I am. Some of you, even your community, relatives, they never thought you would go far. But this morning you can say, here I am. The devil thought you would never make it this far. But this morning you can say, here I am. And why? It is not by my intellect. It is by the grace of God. This God is amazing, folks. This God is amazing. If you believe in him, he is amazing. He does amazing things. And he needs you to believe that he can do amazing things. He can bless you exceedingly in an abundant manner. Folks, I don't care whether you've got no qualification. Our God sometimes does not work on qualifications. Sometimes he disregards qualifications. When he goes after his daughter or after his son, sometimes he does not care about your background. He doesn't care about your nationality. He cares whether your heart is surrendered to God. When your heart is surrendered to God, he will lift you up. And you will know that this was not me. It is by the grace of God. And while I'm coming to the end of my sermon, I'm saying, if you've got a job and they're announcing that the economy is setting job, I'm here to say, if you've got one, on the very place where you've got that one, there is another one. Yeah. I'll repeat that. Yeah. If you've got a job, that job, hold on to it. Because where it comes from, there is many more others. And while the economy is shedding jobs, some of you, you will be called into the office to choose and say, do you want this position or do you want that position? Why? There is a blessing behind your life. Some businesses will close because demand is not there. But yours, God will create an appetite. God will drive people to patronage your business. Folks, I worship Melchizedek. I will never beg from unbelievers. I worship the God who is a creator. I will never beg bread from an unbeliever. I will never go to an unbeliever and ask for sugar. It does not work like that. This God can provide. Until they look at you and say, how do you do it? You say, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. God is making it possible for his children. He will never forsake us. He is the Jehovah Jireh. Brother needed squirrels. He produced squirrels. Dr. Iron needed an office block where Brother Branham said, you're not going to get that small building. You're going to get an entire office block. Dr. Ida Ackerman needed an elk. He says, you are getting an elk, but not just an ordinary elk, a bull elk. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I'm saying on this continent, I'm amazed, folks. Congo is one of the poorest countries in the world. War after war, instability. But as we are speaking, Brother Richard Yoka in Congo, he built the most beautiful church, 20,000-seater. 20,000-seater in Congo. And it's not just the only church, many other churches like that. Why? These people, they looked and said, we are here. But despite the conditions, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will make it come to pass. Zimbabwe, there is a shortage of currency. Money is scarce. You know, my Zim friends. We only talk eco cash today. Money is not there. You go to the bank, there is no money. They can tell you. But I was sitting with Pastor Chitini, says, Brother Madib, you know, we have just got the stands. We are building a convention center. We want to leave this as a spiritual monument that there were believers in this country. And we're going to, and when I was there, they had already built one structure where they are saving food. And it says, we're going to complete it. And I looked at these people, I said, but economics, media, newspapers, television says you are poor. But when I look at them, they are not poor. Yes. But why? They've realized we don't have the resource. But God is not visiting our homes. He's staying in our homes. Yes. And I said, God, he must not visit our home. He must stay in our homes. Yes. Oh, do you remember when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant? When they were bringing it back to Israel, and the first day they attempted to bring it on the camels, and God did not allow that until later they had to put it in another man's house for 3 months. The Bible says as long as the ark was in that man's house, that man prospered. And what is the ark? The word of God. As long as the word of God is in your house, I don't care what is you are up against, God will make a way. I said, God will make a way. Yes. A person said, if I live a holy life, yes, God will make a way. Yes. I said, brother, it may look gloomy. It may look discouraging. But God will make a way. Yes. At the right time, you will come out and you will have a testimony. Yes. And say, this is what God has done. Yes. If all fails, if all fails, I believe the same crowds that fed Elijah, they can even be sent today to feed you. If all fails, I believe heaven can open and manna as it rained, it can rain again. I believe that God is still God as much as he was God then. He is still God even today. Then why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Economy is bad, folks. It's bad. And you know, some of you know, when a company is going through a financial turmoil, you've got people that would want to be the most loved ones, sipping coffee in manager's office, destroying other people to gain favor. Amen. When you are a believer, don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. You just be happy. You know, if they can announce and say there is retrenchment, and people see you tomorrow coming to work, parking your car, and coming out maybe with your bag. Good morning, how are you? Wonderful. They wonder, why is this man happy when we go what we are going through? And we just say, after the meeting, maybe you are sitting in the boardroom, maybe they announce the new structure. You see that you are 30 in the company, but it's only 5 that they must fill. And after they've presented, they see you taking your luggage. They will wonder, does this man know something that we don't know? Because everybody is worried, but you are just there whistling. Only to find that you are whistling Jehovah Jireh. You are the one that made me breathe. Amen. You are the one that took me care of me when I was infant. Amen. My mother said I had measles, I almost died, but you saved me. Amen. I was a young man and I got involved in an accident. You saved me. Well, then if you have saved me for all these years, what is the job? You can create another one. Amen. Either I'm staying or you've got something better for me. Yes. Until Satan looks at you and says, what manner of man is this? It's because the anchor holds. You know in whom you have believed. But when there is scarcity mentality, you are afraid. At night you don't sleep. What am I going to do with the bank? You even dream a person from the bank coming to put for sale at your house. And you wake up in the middle of the night, the wife says, what's the problem? She says, no, I can't sleep. When you see another car stopping by, you wonder, are they coming to repossess the car? You are scared. Why? Because you trust in your efforts. You trust in your abilities. But if you can trust that there is Jehovah Jireh, you sleep at night. Amen. Knowing that everything is in control. Amen. If they take it, sometimes God can allow them to take it like Job. Amen. But you sure there is he's going to restore it sevenfold. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, Satan, you are taking this small house, but one day I'm going to be walking in the one where is such a long passage. When I walk from my living room to the bedroom, it's like I'm jogging. You folks, have you ever seen when children are playing in the streets? Have you ever seen how they talk about their daddy? And I will say, my daddy will sort you out. Will sort you out. Because every child that plays in the streets believes that their father can sort out everybody. And you find your child saying to another child's child and say, my dad can sort out your father. And you know that that one is a bodybuilder. And you are just pitied. But the child's faith believes that my dad, everyone is subject to my dad. Oh, a car, Lamborghini drives down the road, Brother Pierre. Another one comes around and says, my dad can afford it. Well, a dad is only having a bicycle. But I'm simply demonstrating a child's faith. My dad can sort out this. And I'm saying, we've got a dad who is the creator of the universe. He can sort out every situation. Kent, are you in the building? My dad can sort you. Hallelujah. Is the economy collapsing? My dad can sort it. And I'm saying on those ways, folks. I was with Brother Joseph Luwanza. He was telling me, he says, you know, Brother Madiba, when you build a church does not need money. It needs faith. Amen. And I walked out, I said, look at Zimbabwe, they're building a convention center. As here, things are still fine. You still can go to the ATM and withdraw, money comes out. You still can go to petrol. But we are afraid. South Africans are afraid. And I'm asking you, are we going to be afraid? We are not going to be afraid. Brother Branham says, I've got no confidence in a pastor's church that doesn't better themselves year by year, day by day. And I'm saying, we're going to build a nice church here. We are going to build it. It is going to be done. And maybe you don't understand. Building a church is not because we want to be flesh. There's a saying that says, nature does not allow vacuum. When you are a church like this, maybe 150 people, if you only have 150 chairs for 150 people, you leave it like that, you'll be 150. For the next 30 years. But when you are 150 and you put 300 chairs, nature does not allow vacuum. Souls that are needed to fill the rest of 150 are going to come. And when you reach 100 and 300, you don't stop. At no point in time must you have the chairs full. There must always be more chairs. Why? It tells you and it tells God, we believe there's still one more prostitute. There's still one more drunkard. Because nature does not allow vacuum. The Holy Spirit brings them. Big numbers is not a reflection that the church is successful, but it's a reflection that the church is focusing on getting the gospel to the right people, the people that need it most. And I'm saying, I'm no longer going to be on scarcity mindset. It's an abundance mindset. I know people that have got a scarcity mindset say, ah, but I'm only earning 5,000. Now they're going to need a building fund. Wait a minute. Right away, where that 5,000 come from? There's another 15. There's another 20. There's another 30. That must come. Are we together? I don't believe that God will overburden you. No, sir. No, sir. If he says do something, he has got a means to make sure that you are able to do that. The only thing, don't rob God. Don't rob God. Are we together? If you don't drop, he says, what? I will open the windows heaven and bless you. Amen. On that note, don't leave. And it's not only money, time. A person that has got an abundance mindset believes that I've got time for everything. Amen. I can make time for my kids. But a person with scarcity mindset always say, I don't have time. I can't sit with my children. I don't have time. I can't go and share my boy playing. I don't have time. Who said you don't have time? I mean, we had a billionaire. He's got time to come and stay in the convention for all the days. And sit down and fellowship with the likes of us that don't have much. What if he said, I don't have time? He even had time to go down to Bulawayo. The moment you say, I don't, indeed you won't. And the moment you say, I don't, you will fail to enjoy. You know, we live in a generation that fails to enjoy the moment. I always wonder, you are somewhere, maybe a good singer is singing, and then you've got a professional guy that they've hired to take a video, and we know that the DVD is going to be out in 2 weeks. But you'll see people with cell phones. They cannot absorb the moment. And when you wonder, this clip that he has done, what is he going to do with it? After 2 days, their phone says, memory food. But you have failed to sit and enjoy the moment. Enjoy the song. Our generation cannot enjoy. There are many times where I almost tap them and say, don't worry, DVD is coming out. You, if you want, you can go and sit down and edit out and edit what you want and nicely. Are we together? Let's learn to enjoy them. Enjoy our kids. Amen. I think Brasbu was talking about something about people fail to enjoy what they have now because they fear of losing. A person fails to enjoy their job because they fear, I'm going to lose it. You fail to enjoy your marriage, you say, we are going to be divorced. Who said so? Because our generation cannot enjoy the moment. Because why? Scarcity. Mindset. They feel like this thing will not be here tomorrow. And when you will feel that something is not going to be here tomorrow, you are greedy. Amen. I won't say that, lest I get into trouble. Even food. If you believe that they are not going to be here tomorrow, you overindulge. But when you know that it's still going to be here tomorrow, you can bit by bit. Amen. I'm saying that because I used to be like that. But God has been gracious. Amen. Amen. I was not introduced initially in Zimbabwe when I got there. They were introducing the pastors. And after the service, the brother that was introducing his pastor to Pastor Borera, Pastor Mshandu, back home. Then after the service, he comes to me, says, how are you? What's your name? I said, my name is Madiba. He says, why is your brother not here? Did you not bring along your brother? I said, my brother? He said, yeah, your brother normally comes to Zimbabwe. He said, no, I don't have a brother. The only Madiba that comes here is me. Then he says, no, 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 no. Then I realized because I've lost weight. God bless you. So I was big until I was my own brother. How many believe in abundance?
Any song that you have, I'll leave it to you.
We lift him higher, higher, higher. When the praise is growing,
his glory comes down.
We lift him higher.
Praise is so
high.
another one, then we'll wrap up in prayer. I think all of us will pray in our own way. Amen. How many have ever had the scarcity mindset? God can migrate you until you have the abundance mindset. Knowing that I don't trust in my resource, I trust in my source. God, if he says he's something, he means it. If he says I'm Jehovah Jireh, that means he provides. And he would provide in a paradoxical manner so that it can be beyond or controversy that it was him making a provision. Let's sing in a worshiping song.
Jesus, we just want to thank you. Oh, Jesus, we just want to thank you. Oh, Jesus, we just want to thank you. For me, so good.
Let's just raise our hands, close our eyes. Say, Jesus.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this afternoon for your grace and mercy. We want to thank you for your provision, dear God. Dear God, we realize that certain things that have happened in our lives, it is because of your grace. It's not because of our intellect or our efforts, but it's because you are a provider, dear God. That is why, dear God, in the end time, where things don't seem to hold, we know that there is a God that is able to provide for our needs, dear God, spiritually, physically, materially, in any way. And Lord, I'm able to stand here today and be able to pinpoint certain things in my life and say, there it was because of His grace. Over there it was because of your grace. Dear God, I want to thank you for being an honest, being a faithful God. Dear God, you have kept your word. Many a times you have healed our bodies. Many times our children's health is preserved. And Lord, it's because of your grace, dear God. And Heavenly Father, here are your people. I want you to provide for them, dear God. Dear God, there are certain things that we know. For us to have them, we need your grace, dear God. But I know you are a paradoxical God. Sometimes you disregard the current conditions. Sometimes you disregard even economic conditions. I know, dear God, you said whatever you ask in my name, you shall do it. And right now, I'm standing here in the gap on behalf of your people. Many of them have needs, dear God. But we realize that the same God that spoke through the prophet and said to Dr. Ackerman, you will get your elk. And this morning, I believe the same God is here. And whoever needs anything from you, by faith, we claim it and we give it to them so that they can glorify your name and say, God, I was in need, but God made a provision, dear God. Our prophets say we will never exhaust your blessing. Whatever blessing that you gave us today, you will give us the same blessing tomorrow and even the day after tomorrow. At no point in time shall we come to you where you say you have asked so much, I've got nothing else to give it to you. Dear God, I know you will provide. I know you will heal our bodies. I know you will strengthen our spirit. I know you will provide for our needs. I know, dear God, because at no point in time have I ever had a record that you are a failure. You have never failed to keep your way. Every time you spoke the way, you kept your way. And dear God, this morning, I spoke to these people, making them realize that the same God that rained the manna, the same God that multiplied the fish and the bread, the same God that provided for Elijah, He is the same God even today. May there be miracles. May there be testimonies of your children coming to testify that indeed He said, I will be a father to the fatherless. I will be a husband to the widows. Dear God, I know you will keep your way. I'm praying for all the families. I'm praying for all their children, their marriages, everything. I'm subjecting it to you, dear God. I know you're a good God. I know you're a provider. I know you're a savior. I know you are everything that we need, dear God. Our prophet has taught us that whatever we need on the journey, the Holy Ghost will make a provision for it, as much as it made a provision when they moved out of Egypt towards the Canaan land. We thank you, dear God. We thank you for such a beautiful day. We thank you for a good health, dear God. We thank you for everything in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I commit myself, commit my family, commit this assembly to you. May your grace shine upon them, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, gracious Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
My sins well higher than the mountain where the Lord sanctified my sins.
For us with a word of prayer.
Sanctify.
Thank you, God, for letting us come here today and hear what you have to say to us, Lord. Thank you for using your brother and ministering to us, Lord.
Yes.
I ask that you be with us, Lord, and give us what we need, Lord. Give us what we have need of. And thank you for showing us what it is that we need to do, Lord, to come into the right with you, Lord. And that we live under submission of you, Lord, and under submission of your word, Lord.
Yes.
I ask that you give us the strength, Lord, and the faith to believe for whatever we ask for, Lord, and that we will have a spirit and belief of abundance, Lord, not of nothing, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for providing us every day and for giving us what we have need of.
Thank you.
I ask that you will heal the sick, Lord, and that you will give to whom you have need of, Lord. And I ask that you will give us all the faith, Lord, for what we ask. Lord, I thank you for saving us, Lord. Like we said, glory, hallelujah to you, Lord, for sanctifying us, Lord, for bringing a fire upon us, for showing us what is wrong in our life, Lord, and for bringing us to this message, Lord. Thank you for lighting that spark within us, Lord, that was once there, but we never knew it, Lord, but you came and you lit that, and you gave us what we have today, and we thank you for where we are now, and for everything that has happened in our lives, Lord, for us to be here and to know you. Lord, I ask that you be with us and give us grace and show us mercy, Lord. Keep us safe on the road, Lord, and be with us in our job, Lord, that we walk in there tomorrow morning and be happy for what we have.
Yes.
Lord, and if we have need of a job, Lord, will you give it to us, Lord, and will you help us to believe in that? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can give us a song. God bless you richly. Till we see you on Wednesday, have a blessed week. Amen. Abundance mindset.
Amen.
Amen.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength.
It's our strength.
We bow down. Worshiping now, how great, how awesome is He.
Everybody, we stand and lift.
We stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength.
We bow down, we bow down.
We bow down, worshiping now, how great, how awesome is He.
We sing worthy, worthy, worthy. Amen. Are there brothers here? Are there brothers here? We don't find you in that singing. Next week is communion service. Let's not forget, as it has been announced, just come prepared for two services. But I want to hear the main. Because we expect that there should be a bit of vibration on the walls. Hallelujah. The sisters are taking a trophy. Maybe if you are sitting next to the brother, say, brother, you are needed now. You know, Amadodana so wesele, they sing with no message, with no pillar of fire. We're going to sing, brothers.
Are there brothers here? Brothers, I need you. You cannot fail me. Let's allow the sisters to come, because when we come after them, there will be some vibration. Come with it, let's go. Amen. Our brothers, you have done very well. It's not that the sisters sing better than you. It's because we've got many of them in the mic. But you redeemed us. Actually, just one more. We can make a challenge. Let the brothers sing. Without the brothers, then the mic singing. And let the sisters sing without the sisters in the mic. Then you'll have a true reflection. You can start sisters to warm up your fellow sisters, and then we'll call them. Then after, you'll be dismissed. Amen. Brothers, you are without the mic, you are doing very well. Ah. All right, sisters, we'll come. I'm going to be fair. Come with it.
We stand and lift up.
You can warm up with them.
The joy of the Lord is
yes.
We bow down.
We bow down. And worship Him now. Our praise,
the whole church, the whole church.
Everybody, we stand and lift up.
We bow down and worship Him now. Our praise, our voice, our praise.
Sisters, on
bow down. Come on, brother, we stand there.
We stand and lift up our
heads.
The joy of the Lord is our
strength.
We bow down and worship Him now.
Do it one more time, brother, just for control. We stand there.
God bless you, sisters. God bless you, sisters. Ah, this time, brothers. I don't know what happened. But next time, God bless you, sisters. It's been a blessed week. You can have your seat till we see you. Instrumental.